Happy Friday, everyone. Let me begin by saying thank you to those who make it possible for us to stay on this radio station. God bless you for that. We have a lot of regular people that take care of that, or I should say a lot of people who take care of that on a regular basis. But I want to say a thank you to those who from time to time kick in a little extra that God has blessed them with. I'm looking at a little card I got from an unknown person. They sent it anonymously at the time of the holidays with a nice donation in it. It was actually a cash donation, which I'm glad God protected their donation through the mails. But God bless you all for your desire to keep Bible teaching like this going on the radio station. Thank you so much for that. Also for keeping it on the internet, because we have people that are helping support in that area too. Fridays, I always try to make it a habit of saying, get to church this weekend. Everybody needs a home congregation. Everybody needs to be very active there, because that's where we gather to worship and fellowship and pray and praise and hear from the Word and encourage each other to love and good deeds. So if you don't have a church family, find one. If you're within driving distance of the Elkhart East building and you happen to be looking right now for a place, come check us out. We'd love to have the opportunity to invite you to be part of our family. I want you to go to your Bible and open to 1 Kings chapter number 12. That's the main place we'll be going from. Keep in mind that we have a parallel account in 2 Chronicles chapter number 10 as well. It is probably 941 BC. That's my chronological anchor. King Solomon has just died. I believe that probably happened in the spring or summer of 941 BC. The people have grieved him for 30 days, no doubt, but now they've got a new king, Solomon's 41-year-old son. His name is Rehoboam. And so it's kind of automatic that he would be the next king, but I believe that because they were already coming up on the seventh month of the Jewish year, which the first day of the seventh month was the kickoff for kind of the agricultural cycle, for the sabbatical year cycle, the jubilee cycle. It was also, I believe, the first day of the cycle of a king's reign. So it seems as if maybe Rehoboam, maybe his advisors, just maybe generically, the people expected him to have a really big assembly to celebrate the beginning of his reign. It's also, by my calculations, the kickoff for the 68th sabbatical year of Israel in the land. And so that means that the people are going to be taking an entire year off from their normal work after they're done with the Feast of Tabernacles, this particular cycle. So that is the situation to which I believe chapter 12 of 1 Kings starts. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now, it's not that they had to take a vote or something like that. It is, they want to be part of a big ceremony. Now, why do they go to Shechem? I mentioned this as we were wrapping up last time. Shechem is the place where they had their blessing and cursing ceremony when they first came into the land. It's where they set up the standing stones of the covenant, perhaps the Ten Commandments, perhaps the entirety of the book of Deuteronomy. It is the place in which they made the commitments that every 7 years they would read aloud from the book of Deuteronomy as a reminder to them that they were involved in a covenant relationship with God and with one another. And so I believe that that is why they're here at Shechem, is because it is a sabbatical year. They are going to read from the covenant writings, and they've got a brand new king, and he's going to be marking the start of his first full official year on the throne. So they're going to make a big deal out of it. Now, as I mentioned, though, a lot of people, particularly people from the north tribes, are not happy campers with how things began to degrade in the final years of King Solomon, because he had become a tyrant. He had become an abuser of the people. And so this is where we bring back into our story somebody that had to run away from King Solomon in those last couple of years of his life. And that is Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Verse 2, as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. So Jeroboam had probably objected to the abusiveness of King Solomon. King Solomon wanted him dead. It's possible that Solomon somehow found out that a prophecy had been made that he would become the king of the northern 10 tribes. Maybe. Don't know that for sure, but it's possible. And that might also be why he wanted him dead. But Jeroboam had run off to Egypt and taken up exile residence under Shishak or Shishonk, the pharaoh of Egypt. And he was a fairly new pharaoh, because 943 is when he began, and here we are in 941 BC. So Jeroboam finds out the guy that wanted him dead is gone. All of Israel is gathering to designate this new guy as their king, and so he returns home. Verse number 3. They sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam. Now, who's the they here? Well, it's the assembly of Israel. Now, the last time when we were talking about Jeroboam, we cited this idea that from here on out, Israel becomes the name applied to the northern tribes, a part of Benjamin northward. Those are the northern 10 tribes. Jeroboam has already been told he's going to be the leader of that entity that's not yet in existence, but coming into existence. So these folks have been, they've been experiencing Jeroboam as their leader anyway. He's the guy that's been liaison with the Solomon kingdom during all the work projects. So they say, Jeroboam, you need to go and talk to this new guy about our concerns regarding overwork and taxes and things like that. So Jeroboam agrees. Verse number 4. This is what he said. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. So the northern tribes, through Jeroboam, their representative, say to Rehoboam, your dad was horrible to us at the end. He was a slave driver. He was overtaxing us, doing monstrous things to us. If you'll just scale back on all of that, we will gladly serve you as our king. So Rehoboam said to them, go away for 3 days, then come again to me. So the people went away. So he asked for 3 days to consider this. King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon, his father, while he was yet alive. So these are guys all older than him. He's 41. So these are guys that worked for Solomon for the past, many of them, 40 years. Maybe some of them go back as far as David. Wants to know, how do you advise me to answer this people? And so they said to him, and it's very wise, very appropriate what they say, if you will be a servant to this people today and serve them, meaning if you will humble yourself and think about where they're coming from, and then if you speak good words to them when you answer them, they will be your servants forever. So if you will scale back on some of the things your dad was doing and treat these people with respect and kindness and compassion, be a humble king, be a humble leader, kind of like your dad was at the very beginning of his reign, then these people will be in your corner for the rest of your life. Then he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. So it's clear from the context here, he did not like what he was just told. He did not like being told to back off and almost apologize for what his father had done. So he goes to his buddies. Remember, he's 41, so his buddies are going to probably be in their 40s and their 30s. Guys that he grew up with, and he said to them, so what do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, lighten the yoke of your father has put on us? And so the young men who had grown up with him said to him, and if I hadn't mentioned it, and I don't think I have, there's going to be some PG-13 material today. I'm gonna soften it a bit for you, but still it's stuff that you may not want to talk with your younger kids right now. This is where we find out that Rehoboam is and his buddies are rude, crude, insulting, self-centered, bad guys. So the young men who had grown up with him said to him, this is how you should speak to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. You shall say this. And I'm going to have you imagine that they're gesturing here with their little bitty pinky finger, wiggling it around, okay? This is what you should tell them, Solomon. My little finger is bigger than my father's. Now, English Standard Version, all of our English versions pretty much put the word thigh in here, but it is a substitute word that stands in for the genital area. It is a polite softening of the word for the male sexual organ. Now, for you to really get the fullness of these guys' rudeness, you have to substitute a crude form for the male sexual organ, that type of word, okay? My little finger is thicker than my father's blank, fill in the blank. It's not funny. It's horrendously insulting. It's insulting to Solomon, but it's more insulting to the people that they're suggesting that Solomon say this to. Now, I'm sure they all got a good laugh out of it because these guys are bad guys. I'm not going to pull any punches about that. These guys are horrible. They are the cause for what happens next. My little finger's bigger than my father's blank. Now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips. And apparently that's literal, that he had some of these workers, these draftees, being beaten if they didn't get their jobs done as fast or in the way that Solomon wanted it done. But my father disciplined you with whips. I'm going to discipline you with scorpions. So I'm going to make it worse. See, maybe I'll put some scorpions on the whips and let them sting you. So he takes their advice. Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king said, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered the people harshly. Now think about this. Picture it in your mind. We're at Shechem. We've probably already had the installation ceremony, the coronation ceremony. We've probably already done a restatement of the Ten Commandments, maybe the rereading out loud of the entirety of the book of Deuteronomy. Maybe we've done the blessing and cursing ceremony again. We've perhaps even celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles in a special session. But now, the people come hoping that things will look up. And instead, this is what they get. The king answered the people harshly, and forsaking the counsel that the old men had given him, he spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I'm going to add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips. I'm going to discipline you with scorpions." And so the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by he who is, that he might fulfill his word, which he who is spoke by Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Remember, probably a year and a half, 2 years earlier, God dispatched this prophet from Shiloh to let Jeroboam know that he was going to be the king of northern Israel, and that God would bless him in that role if he would just live according to the covenant. And so now everything blows up because of Rehoboam and his gang of bad attitude Israeli leaders. Verse 16, when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, "Well, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now you just look to your own house, David." And so Israel went to their tents. So all the leaders of the 10 northern tribes who had been there with Jeroboam seeking kind of a scaling back of the work from the new king, they say, "We're out of here. We're done with you. We're done with the Judah tribe. We're done with the king that comes from the Judah tribe. We're on our own now. We're declaring our independence." And so they took off. Verse 17, but Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. So as I said, that's automatically the Judea tribe from Jerusalem southward and then off to the west part of Judah, we've got the tribe of Simeon. And more than likely, some of the Benjamites that are living right on the north side of Jerusalem, they probably also are associated with the city of Jerusalem, the capital city, and stay with Judah tribe. Now, what does Rehoboam try? Well, he doubles down on this idea, "I'm the king, and I can do whatever I want, and you all have to do it." And so King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor. So this is Jeroboam's replacement. When Jeroboam ran off to Egypt, this guy became the new leader of forced labor in the northern tribes. And so he sends him to basically tell them what's what, and what happens is all Israel stoned him to death with stones. So they are in full-fledged rebellion. They execute the guy that tries to tell them what they have to do. Now remember where they're at. They are in Shechem, which is deep inside northern Israel. It's a good day's ride in a chariot from Jerusalem up here to Shechem. And so now Rehoboam has lost control of the situation, and he needs to make an escape. So King Rehoboam hurried to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So he barely escapes with his life, it sounds like. Then the prophet writer of this section tells us, so Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. So that means that this section has been written within the next 200 years after this happened, because the northern kingdom of Israel, it pretty much passes from the scene 200 years later. Verse 20, and when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. So they have a new coronation ceremony. They're at Shechem, evidently. And they say, Jeroboam, you're our guy. You're our new king. And they acclaim him the king of the northern tribes of Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. Now, I keep reminding you, there's a little bit of an exception to that. Simeon is inside the tribal region of Judah, so they're automatically understood being there. And then we'll have understanding later that at least some parts of southern Benjamin, which is right there on the north side of Jerusalem, they also gravitate toward the capital city and toward the king who is seated there. And so the line between these two new nations, northern Israel, southern Judah, goes right through the Benjamite territory. Verse 21, when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, so he arrives on his chariot and he feels that he has to do something about this rebellion. He assembled all the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. So there he is. He's reaching out to the Benjamites there on the north side of Judah. 180,000 chosen warriors. That's from Judah tribe, Simeon tribe, and Benjamite tribe, to fight against the house of Israel to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Now, I want you to think about how big of a deal this is. 10 of the 12 tribes are in northern Israel. So basically a sixth of northern Israel, 17%, something like that, is 83% is in the north, and a sixth or 17% down in the south in Judah. If you could imagine the United States splitting in a similar fashion today, it would be something like this. The person who's in control in Washington, D.C., he is backed up by the people living in Virginia and West Virginia, and then all the other states going up to just the south part of Boston area. So, and part of New York, part of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, places like that, Maryland. That little bitty tiny area up in the northeast of our country would be equivalent to Judah. And then everybody else would be like northern Israel. That is a shocking breakup of the Empire of Solomon. Now, we haven't even talked about what's happening in the fringes. We'll mention that later. But this is a really big blow to Rehoboam's power. And so he can't let that stand, he doesn't think. He gathers up this force of 180,000 warriors to go back up to Shechem and kill Jeroboam and anybody that's backing him. But, verse 22, the word of God came to Shemaiah, a man of God, the man of God, who's another one of the contributors to the written history during this period. Say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, thus says he who is, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives, the people of Israel. Every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. So God immediately sends a very well-respected prophet from Jerusalem to this muster meeting where they're getting these 180,000 people together for an offensive against the northern tribes of Israel. And this prophet says, God says, stand down. Everybody go home. There will be no attempt to counter this, because this is God's will to allow the 10 tribes in the north to go their own way. Everybody go home. And so they listened to the word of he who is and went home again according to the word of he who is. And so this is what solidifies the split instantly, because God says, this is what I want. Mark your place. We'll get back into the word next time God gives us a chance.